The future of your universe starts with family engineering. With praise for Wear.
As we re-engineer for Wear,
is a global leader in family life innovation and a premium coach working with high net worth individuals across different continents. Fasten your seatbelts as we make your life better.com or visit our stores www.iampraiseforwear.com. You can also call us on +1 8 1 7 8 8 6 9 6 +1 7 8 0 2 4 6 7 9 5 5 +4 7 9 6 0 8 1 3 4 3 0 or +2 3 4 8 1 0 8 5 7 1 1 3 9.
Well, we have been doing a series on mastering co-parenting, and today we're going to be looking at mastering co-parenting with an enfant terrible. Enfant terrible. Now, you might wonder, who is an enfant terrible? You know, and just like the song, Hey My Chairman, you know, you seem to have been married to or been gone through a divorce with this special guy or this special babe who just feels the whole world revolves around them. Someone that you know is going to be very difficult co-parenting with, and we must not overlook the fact that not everyone will be able to co-parent successfully. So what happens when you are in a relationship or co-parenting relationship with someone who sees themselves as that special character, that's a Mr. Incredible, that nobody is like them? How do you cope when you're co-parenting with someone who believes that they know it all and you know nothing? How do you co-parent with that person, you know, who will pass the test of what some people call a narcissist, right? I don't like to do labels because I think that terminology has been misused by many people, because everyone who aligns to a particular behavior is suddenly labeled despite the fact that there's no clinical diagnosis. Now, I was going to bring, a mental health experts today to interview, but I think I'll do that tomorrow because of some technical issue. But you see, there is a way to handle everyone and anyone, provided you are willing to understand or master the strategy required to handle them. There is no human being that can't be handled, right? The problem is many of us are not willing to shift ground. Unknown to many, right, a difficult ex is most vulnerable when they think they are in control. But a lot of us do not know when to strike. So we kind of get upset by what upsets them. We align with their tantrums. I say to people, whosoever can get you upset is in control of your life. I have no control over the hell without me. What I have control is about the heaven within me. And I'm going to protect the heaven within me such that the hell without will be invalidated. So today, mastering co-parenting with an enfant terrible. Right, the first time I encountered the term enfant terrible was many years ago, 1987 precisely. Nigeria was going to play a football match, a tournament in Chile. I think it was an under-21 match. My elder brother is listening, so he can correct me if I'm wrong. It was 1987, Chile 87. The Flying Eagles were going to play a football match, and Nigeria had the star of the team. His name was Etim Essien. Etim Essien was called the Black Maradona, right? I hope I got the year right. Okay, he was called the Black Maradona because he was the best player in Nigeria. As a matter of fact, many of us who saw Austin Gejo Okocha play, Etim Essien was like, the best player, the only player to compete to Messi with was Maradona, right? He was very, you know, heavily built, amazing footballer, very skillful. But Etim Essien was a rule breaker. He would disobey every rule in camp. I remember that particular tournament, they were camped, I think, in Lagos State. They were having the practice match at the sports city in Lagos, and they were lodged in a particular place. Etim Essien escaped camp one night and he was shot by armed robbers. Now, I remember that he was so critical. I can't remember the coach of that team that year. I can't remember, right? He was so vital to the team that they had to accelerate his leg operation to make him fit for that tournament, Chile 87. I think that was one of the best squad Nigeria ever assembled. Of course, it was a disaster. I remember, I think they lost a match to Brazil at 4-0 or something. I can't remember, I mean, because I was pretty young, you know, and I was watching the match with my brother, right? But afterwards, Edson became known as the enfant terrible of the Nigerian football industry, football scene. That is, he was a player who was very, very brilliant, but had some behaviors that could sabotage the best interest of the team. Now, over the period of time, the coach was Udemezi or something, Chile 87. Thank you, my brother, right? That over a period of time, from Etimesin, we've seen other enfant terrible in football. As a matter of fact, Diego Maradona was an enfant terrible, but it was so skillful that the coaches learned to manage his excesses, you know, within the game for the team to win. And you could see once an enfant terrible is well managed, they'll produce results. There was another enfant terrible called, what's his name now? This guy who played for Inter Milan and later played for Man City and later left for France. I can't remember his name now, right? He was a very brilliant player. You know, I mean, his spot kicks is one of the best. But you see, every time, you know, he got on the field, he got into trouble, right? He was a young guy, very brilliant player, but he kept getting into trouble that not even Mourinho could handle him. You know, eventually he worked with Pellegrini in Manchester City. I don't know how come I've forgotten his name right now. It's from Ghana, but he plays for Italy, right? So you sometimes have this kind of players who are very, very skillful, but they have a terrible attitude to the sport and to the team that they can totally destabilize the team if care is not taken. Now, so the same way in a relationship, you have a lot of enfant terrible who, you know, they are adults who have refused to grow up. Right, so at the level of their mind, they believe in their magnificence, they believe they are so special. There's something going on in their brain that makes them feel, you know what, I am the best that ever exists. That they will upset the dynamics of a team if care. Balotelli is the name, yes, Balotelli, Mario Balotelli is the name of that player. Right, they will upset the peace of the team if care is not taken. Now, an enfant terrible has been defined, before I go to the definition, it's been said, there's an anonymous quote that says, anyone can have a child and call themselves a parent. A real parent is someone who puts that child above their own selfish needs and wants. I'll take that again. Anyone can have a child and call themselves a parent. A real parent is someone who puts that child above their own selfish needs and wants. Right? The enfant terrible has a need to be validated, to be worshipped, and they will crave that worship against all others. As a matter of fact, that attitude was what crashed their marriage, because they always feel that they are the live wire of every event, that the whole world is revolving around them. They practice what we call septocracy, which is a government of the self, by the self, and for the self. An enfant terrible does not care about the child. What they care about is their ego, or the perception, their public image, the way people perceive them. So they are willing to splash the cash, they are willing to show that they are in control, they are willing to dominate an argument, they are willing to take charge of every situation, right? And when they talk, they are believable. You would almost not believe that they could be abusive in a relationship, because they are smooth talkers, they have a fantastic public image due to their successes. So they are very, very talented, but they are very emotionally weak. Now, an enfant terrible is anyone, a person, has been defined by Wikipedia as a person who compromises his associate or team by unorthodox or ill-considered speech or behavior. Loosely, one who acts unconventionally. I'll take that again. An enfant terrible is a person who compromises his associate or his team by unorthodox or ill-considered speech or behavior. Loosely, one who acts unconventionally. So within the context of co-parenting, an enfant terrible in co-parenting is a person who constitutes a threat to the best interest of the child by ill-considered behavior that sabotages the spirit of teamwork in a co-parenting situation. I'll take that again. An effrontery is a person who constitutes a threat to the best interest of the child by ill-considered behavior that sabotages the spirit of teamwork in a co-parenting situation. Now, so what that means is that effrontery, that person, whether male or female, is a threat to the best interest of the child by their ill-considered behavior, ill-mannered behavior, self-centered behavior that sabotages the team spirit or the spirit of the teamwork in a co-parenting situation. Imagine a player in a football team who never passes to his teammates because he wants to be seen as the lord of all, who tries to dribble everyone and loses matches. So you will realize that when his team loses, he doesn't care as long as he is winning and people are clapping for him and people are saying, wow, he dribbled everybody, but his team has lost, right? That's a typical effrontery. He will sabotage the interest of teamwork as long as, you know, is the star of the show or is highlighted. Now, there are a couple of presuppositions, however, because the effrontery can manifest, can be a personality defect, it can be a personal weakness, it can be a psychological problem, or it can be a trauma that has not been overcome that now masquerades as that particular behavior. Now, I do not want you to get into all kinds of labeling, because what I see across social media right now is everybody is now a narcissist once they are very stubborn, right? Not everyone is a narcissist, especially wherein the person has not been clinically diagnosed, right? So don't throw around labels. But here are a couple of presuppositions, because the goal is not whether the person is a narcissist or the person is an effrontery. The goal is, how do you navigate this person in the best interest of the child and engage them in a co-parenting situation so that you can have a win-win situation? Now, to engage these people, there are a number of presuppositions I will read out, which will help you and will lay a foundation for what we're going to share in the next 2 days. Number one, it is not right to expect a perfect behavior from imperfect people. So one, you need to realize that everyone has a measure of imperfection. So if you place their behavior as their own cross, as their own imperfection, you will be better positioned to handle them. Number two, everyone is doing the best they can with the resources available to them. So if you understand that people will do the best they can with what they know, that if they knew better, they will act better. Jesus was slapped, you know, spat at. They did all kinds of things to him, and they did all kinds of things at him, threw all kinds of things at him. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing, because he excused them in a way to promote his own personal peace, right? The moment you begin to feel, oh, he's doing it on purpose, blah, 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 you will feel very sad, right? But if you understand that this person is just an overgrown baby who does not understand right or wrong, but he feels he's in control, then you will promote your own mental peace. Number three, your mind is at best a slave and can be conditioned to believe anything and everything. That even in the most difficult situation, you can always govern your mind or condition your mind to believe anything. So if you believe that they are wicked, your mind will feel hurt and pain. If you believe that they are acting a script and they are in a location and you are watching the movie, right, the same you will be very, very excited to watch their tantrums, right? Because a whole lot of us forget that sometimes you are watching a movie, you purchase the movie with your money, or you're watching it on Netflix, you knew the actor did not die physically, but in the course of the movie, the actor died and you are crying. Why are you crying? Because your mind does not know the difference between what is real and what is simulated. Your mind will respond to interpretation, right? So you can actually condition your mind to deal with any situation. Next one, you are at the mercy of the meaning you have chosen, because nothing means anything but the meaning you have attached to it. You are a meaning-making machine. Your meaning is yours. What you believe is not true. What you believe is what you have interpreted to be true. So the meaning you have attached to things is what affects you. The moment you say is a narcissist, the capacity for him to change is totally eroded, because even when he puts up the best behavior, your mind and your emotion will react based on what you have read about narcissists. And you will keep watching for that. And let me tell you, whatever you're watching for is what you will see. Now, I love to call everyone in that kind of situation a troubled adult, because that helps me deal with them and deal from a standpoint of compassion, to know that instead of thinking that this person is wicked, this person deserves to be pitied because they don't know better. Next one, your belief is not often the truth. It is often what you have been conditioned to believe or what you have chosen to be true. So if you have said, oh, he's a narcissist, because you have come to believe that that is the truth, and that may be far from the truth, right? So your belief is not often the truth. It's what you have considered to be the truth, which is why I always say to people, when we came on this planet, foolishness means handsome. People will be calling you foolish and you'll be blushing. Why? Because that's the meaning you have attached to it. Next one, you have no control over the hell around you. However, the power you have is to protect the heaven within you. Hell will come. People will do all kinds of things. You have no control over their behavior. You have a control over your interpretation of their behavior, right? So it's your interpretation that is most important. And if heaven is what you have within you, everyone throwing hell at you, you will not allow their hell to compromise your heaven. Next one, none is absolutely bad, because we all have the tendency to magnify and exaggerate what we choose to focus on, but skilled people can win with the right strategy. That every time I hear people talk about the difficult ex, they talk about what is bad about them, as if there is nothing good. Meanwhile, what you is affecting you is what you have chosen to focus on, right? If I show you this, my palm, what can you see? You will see my palm. Now, if I slap you with this, my palm, all you will see is pain. If I show you this, my other palm is holding water, and I refresh you with this water, and I feed you with this water, oftentimes when the chips are down, what you will remember is the pain on my left hand, not the pleasure from my right hand, right? And if you are not careful, if you are fixated on the pain on my left hand, you will define my life by this pain, that you completely forget the pleasure I've given you in times past. So none is absolutely bad. Next one, we don't change people on our terms. You need to remember that. But we have the capacity to get the best out of ourselves and the best out of them with the right strategy. It's called the Platinum Rule. Platinum Rule says you treat people the way they want to be treated. Now, before I show you principles and templates that can help you work with an enfant terrible in a co-parenting situation, I often would like to do what I call the personality arc, to say, is this person actually a narcissist? Is this person suffering from a psychological disorder? Or is it a personality defect that has been over magnified and elevated beyond measure, right? Because in the personality quadrant that we created, you have the intimidating armor, creative convertible, dependable truck, or systematic fault. Systematic fault is the last one. Now, the four of them actually have their tendencies, right? And they can manifest all kinds of things, given a different situation that can frustrate you, especially when their weaknesses becomes elevated. So, for example, if you are married or you are co-parenting with an intimidating armor, you would realize a couple of behaviors that can align with what is called the behavioral tendency of a narcissist without them being narcissistic, right? So, for example, if you are co-parenting with an intimidating armor, you should expect them to be project-driven. People come next to them. As a matter of fact, when they become nice to people, it's often because they want to use the people to achieve a given agenda, right? So you will expect them to be project-driven. They experience fits of anger when goals are not met. They are often people user, right? That's just their DNA. They are systems-driven and project-driven, and they are success-driven. Now, if you are dealing with this person in a co-parenting situation, there are things you must never do. One, never argue with them. Never argue with them. Never argue with them, because you're never going to win. So when you know that, you will know the rules of engagement. And when you deploy the rules of engagement, you are going to win, because your eyes must be on the ball, not on their tantrums. Their behavior is often to bully you, but if you refuse to cower and you manage them within the ambit of their personality, you will win and your child will win, right? So never argue with them. Be competent, because if you are incompetent, they will ride you crazy and drive you crazy. You need to produce your own result. So it's almost very tough if you are dealing with an intimidating woman and you are in a co-parenting situation. and you have not succeeded at anything, you depend on them for money, for your upkeep, for the upkeep of the child, they are going to mess you up. So you need to become competent at something. Find a job, find a business, produce your own result, right? They will speak with you as a colleague when you can produce your own money or produce your own result. But if you are the type who has nothing and they are the ones feeding you, fending for you, even after the marriage has broken down, trust me, they are going to really, really mess up, and they are going to take control of co-parenting because they think without their money, you can't succeed. They only respect success, right? So you need to succeed at whatever you're doing. Now, that's the intimidating armor. If you are co-parenting with a creative convertible, you will find that they are people-oriented, they attract opposite sex easily, they are very flashy, mistake-prone, and highly emotional. Now, if you are co-parenting with this particular person, in fact, one of the reasons why the marriage could have broken down is their penchant for unnecessarily attracting opposite sex, right? So if you are co-parenting with this person, you don't judge them, right? You want to fact find. So instead of taking a position, you want to fact find and beam your searchlight and ask them questions in a non-judgmental manner. Number two, you need to create an enabling environment where they can be themselves, because they can begin to pretend to be who they are not. And also, there's a part of narcissistic personality disorder that aligns with this behavioral code, right? You need to become their cheerleader. So for whatever they do, you need to exaggerate it and undermine their weaknesses. Do you understand? Right? And to correct them, you need to correct them with a cheerleading attitude, right? And not a judgmental attitude. They can't stand headmistress or headmaster, but they can respond to a mother or a lover. Number three, if you are co-parenting with a dependable truck, you will find, they are very lovely to co-parent with, but they could be very stubborn, right? They are controlled and dependable, but they can procrastinate and they can be very slow, and that can get you worked up. So if an intimidating armor is co-parenting with a dependable truck, they will so slow you down, procrastinate, that you can get so upset and become a shouting person, right? Because as an intimidating armor, when goals are not met, you get into fits of anger. Now, when the dependable truck is going to describe you, they're going to describe you as a narcissist, right? Not knowing that you are simply frustrated by their inability to make up their mind and by their procrastination tendency, which is affecting your time, because you are a stickler for time, they are no stickler for time, right? And they can be friendly and grudging. That is, so you don't know what is in their mind by time. They can say yes when they mean no. They can say yes for peace to reign. Meanwhile, inside their mind, they are very, very stubborn hearted, and they can go and do something else. Now, if you are co-parenting with a dependable truck, you do not rush them. You give them time to assimilate what you have said, right? And the problem is that time can be very, very frustrating. So you don't leave it open-ended. You can ask, so how long will this take for you to think through it? They say, oh, no, just give me time. No. Can it be 1 week or 2 weeks? Let them commit themselves, right? Then you need to be loving and tender, even though marriage has broken down. Remember, you are acting the role in co-parenting, and everything must be done in the best interest of the child. So you cannot retain who you are to get the best out of the child. You need to get into the characterization of that role for you to get the best out of your child. Remember, the star player is the child and not even the two of you. So when one person has exhibited a terrible weakness that aligns with my definition of involuntary, then you need to find the strategy that can help you still co-parent successfully with them in the best interest of the child. Everyone can be handled, right? Then the last one is a systematic fault. If you are co-parenting with a systematic fault, you should expect perfectionism tendency. They can be critical of everything you are doing because they live with a pie in the sky vision of a perfect world that doesn't exist. They are very critical and they can be judgmental. They are stickler for standards. They believe this is the standard, there is no other standard, right? They are not that romantic, so they may not be nice. They are not very sound with words and communication, so their verbal venom can totally throw you off balance, right? But you see, if you master the power of meaning and you master the power of your identity, you will not be thrown aback. You will keep your eye on the child. That is what you need. You'll be firm with your decision, but you will be very nice and you will not respond back based on their tantrum. Now, if you're going to co-parent with a systematic fault, that's the word there, you need to be honest with them. You need to show them a data-driven solution. You need to be serious-minded around them, right? And you need to just endure their excesses, right? Now, if you check these four personalities, if you exaggerate their weaknesses, you will find a bit of their weaknesses within the behavioral code of the narcissistic personality disorder. So, the question now is, who is a narcissist? When all of us, our weakness at an elevated level can align with that behavior. You see why I don't do labels? Because all of us have these tendencies, depending on what has happened, depending on how we're brought up, the environment we were raised, and our significant emotional experience. Because the oftentimes I say to people, before you judge people, can you try to troubleshoot how they were raised? Because the engineer that engineered the car should be oftentimes is responsible for the behavior of the car, right? That even when the car is grown and the car is trying to change that behavior, it's almost tough. It's almost like death to change a behavior that you have been conditioned to live at a particular time in your life, especially throughout the formative years in your life. It will take superior skills to help them become better. Now, when a difficult ex becomes abusive and aggressive during co-parenting situation and is no longer listening to the mediator or the coach or the therapist you are working with, then you might need to activate the law. I'm hoping I can get a divorce lawyer in tomorrow as well, or next tomorrow, so that I can interview her and the mental health specialist on how to navigate when every effort for peace has failed. Because oftentimes court can actually grant you full custody when the other co-parent has become unreasonable, because there comes a time that the unfunctionaries must be taken out of the team, because they can become cancerous, especially when they have become unmanageable, right? So what are the ways to win with an unfunctionary? Number one, you need to calm down when you are in a co-parenting situation with them. Right? Agitation never solves any problem, but calming down puts you in control, right? So no matter, you need to make up your mind that you are going to go into the meetings with them as the character who is an observer, not someone who is going to take a position. So you take yourself out from the emotions and you observe from a detached position. What that means is, when they begin to throw their tantrums and they begin to shout and yell, you know what? Put them in a position that says that they are acting the role in a movie called Angry Husband. So put your, even though the two of you are in a movie of co-parenting, but within the movie you can watch another movie. So put yourself in a sitting room where you are, even though you are acting a movie, but you are watching another movie on the TV. The title of the movie is The Angry Ex, right? So every time they throw their tantrums, if that is where you have placed them, guess what happens? You begin to smile and laugh instead of getting angry. But if you see them as still being reasonable within the ambit of co-parenting, it will affect your emotion and you also will be governed by their tantrums. Remember, they always love to take control and they love to be noticed. So whatever will make them noticed, including creating crisis, they are going to do it. I remember when I gained admission to the university, I was admitted to study sociology, but I changed to accounting, right? My first class in sociology class, I remember vividly what the lecturer said. He said, as a sociologist, when you find yourself in an environment and they are not paying attention to you, he said, create trouble. When you create trouble, they will pay attention to you. I just looked at the guy and I left the class. And that was how I changed my course to accounting, right? But you see, this is how unfunctionaries are. They must do something. Now, you know the worst thing that can happen to them? When they throw their tantrums and they are ignored, they revel in being talked about, right? And it pumps their adrenaline. But when they bump their head, throw tantrums, and nobody pays attention to them, guess what? They calm down because you have disempowered them, especially when nobody takes, when nobody pays attention to them. I know guys in different groups I belong to that when they post anything, nobody pays attention to them anymore because they know that they are just trying to seek attention, right? Unfunctionary is communicating something to say, you know what? I need help. I need to be validated. I have a low self-esteem. I have an overbloated image of myself. It manifests as superiority complex, but it's actually an inferiority complex. There is a fear within that they are trying to use that cover to mask. You need to understand, with better understanding, you will no longer be thrown aback or be surprised by their tantrums. I often say to married people, if you have been married to someone for 7 years and you still don't know what to expect from them, then nothing is wrong with them, something is wrong with you. Because if they have repeated a behavior consistently, then you should have been smart enough to create a strategy around that behavior to promote your own mental wellness. Remember, the mental wellness of you and the best interest of the child is the focus, right? So the moment you begin to get angry at what upset the enfantery has become in control of your life. So you need to calm down and begin to observe the movie as if it's acting the angry ex, or she's acting the angry ex. Number two, observe from a vantage position and beam your searchlight, right? So instead of taking a position and say, this person is a narcissist, I cannot cooperate with this person, you need to beam your searchlight to begin to find out what could have happened to this person. Remember, if you are boarding an aircraft and you are at the tarmac, at the level of the tarmac, you can see everyone, you can see the people, you can see the pilot, you can see the ground crew, you can see the traffic officers, you can see the building of the airport. But the moment the plane gets to 40,000 feet above sea level, you suddenly realize that you don't see anything again. Whatever we focus on, we magnify. Whatever we magnify, we can exaggerate. But whatever we observe from a vantage position, right, it becomes very small. When you focus on a problem from an attached position, it becomes overly magnified and exaggerated. If you move away from the problem, the smaller it becomes. The same way, when you are 40,000 above sea level, the houses are still there, the people are still there, it's just that it becomes so inconsequential. The same way, you need to adjust your emotion to observe the enfantery from a vantage position, so you are emotionally detached and you beam your searchlight, because that births empathy as against judgment. Number three, you need to begin to troubleshoot and act to discover patterns and create empowering narrative. So there is what we use, there is a solution I have. I taught a class, Handling a Difficult Spouse, is on my, if you go on masterclass.iampraiseforward.com, you will see all these courses there, right? Handling a Difficult Spouse, step by step of what to do. Now, I can't teach that now because this program is limited to like 40 minutes thereabout, right? But if you go through that program, it will tell you step by step activities to do daily to handle a difficult spouse. Now, so you need to troubleshoot and act to discover patterns. Now, there is what we call the jar of life. The jar of life will show you all the programs that has been installed in your ex, from its upbringing, from its environment, and from the significant emotional experience. Now, what that is trying to do is to show you the inner workings of his or her life. Once you understand the inner working, judgment will replace empathy, because you will also come to times, if you place yourself in their position, you will know that if you went through the upbringing they went through, you went through the environment they grew up in, and the emotions and the experience they've been through in life, most likely you will be behaving exactly like them. We are often a victim of the handlers in our life, which is why parenting is so critical to the upbringing of a child. When a child's esteem has been compromised, a child will become anything and anything. You see that it becomes very dull, and you call him a good child, because oftentimes the children who ask questions in schools of hardly get the best behaved student is the one who has been conditioned and domesticated to look and bow to everyone that is called the best behaved, because it never troubles the teacher. But a child can actually be questioning status quo and be the best behaved, because that is a child whose esteem has not been compromised. So you want to check their engineering to say, how was this person raised? Now, when you understand that, so you will deal from a posture of understanding, that instead of judgment, you are just empathetic to say, oh my show, hey, this guy is not even aware that he's throwing tantrums and that he's sabotaging himself, because enfantery eventually sabotage themselves. Etim Essen did not have a successful career eventually. He had a problem in in Belgium, and he had to come back to Nigeria. And that was the end of his career. Even though people said that he was framed up, but nobody totally believed, because he had consistently maintained a behavior that was antisocial, right? So it's engineering, you need to hack into it. You need to hack their personality code, which I just shared with you. Then you need to hack their love code. So for example, once you hack the personality code, it helps you understand what to do and what not to do, how to get the best out of them. You focus on that. If you get into that characterization and you offer them on their own terms, what can help you win with them? Because let me tell you this, the enfant terrible is most vulnerable when they think they are in charge. So the moment they think they are in control and the one controlling the discussion, that is when to strike, because you can now moderate the discussion. So for example, if you want to do something, right, there's a way you can moderate it and make the decision look like they were the ones who took that decision, right? But usually I would insist in co-parenting, you must have a moderator, you must have a mediator who is a professional who the two of you can defer to, right? So you need to hack his engineering, his personality, and you need to hack his love code. So for example, if what affirms them or the meal they love, words of affirmation, focus on what is good about them and consistently talk about that, because you need to create the right environment for the child to try, right? And if it is quality time, right, you need to find a way to deploy that, right, for the child to win, with your emotions being detached, right? So if it is I'm sorry that can help you win with them, please deploy I am sorry. And number four, you need to create an empowering meaning and narrative that promotes your mental peace and assign a perceptual code. So for example, if your perceptual code is a troubled royalty, right, you will know that your characterization has to be a nurse in relating with him. And you know, as a nurse, when the person is a troubled royalty, so let's say you see him as someone who is on an emotional or behavioral spinal cord injury, who is on an emotional wheelchair, right? So you have this person who has suffered a spinal cord injury and they are in pain, and you go to visit them and you show care and they begin to curse you and they begin to say all kinds of things. Why you do not respond is because you are aware that this person is not okay psychologically. So you are able to smile and you're able to say, oh, I'm sorry. Not because they are right, but because you know that that is what you need to do for you to win with them and help them heal faster. So it's not a function of right and wrong. The mistake we make in co-parenting with a difficult ex or with an enfant terrible ex is because many of us want to live within the ambit of right and wrong. And that is why a lot of marriages actually crash. Because in marriage, we say that you don't insist on a right, you do what is right. What has to be done to get the best out of the child is what you need to do. Because the question is, if you engage them in an argument and the two of you walk away, who suffers? The two of you are already selfish. The selfishness is what crashed the marriage, right? And you have brought it into co-parenting again, it's going to crash the co-parenting. So the person who is more knowledgeable, who is more who is more emotionally stable, is the leader in this relationship, even though the person may be the quiet person, right? So people to whom much is given, much is expected. That person has a disorder that they are not even aware of. So mentally, if you put them in an emotional wheelchair and you arrive at a decision that this person has suffered an emotional spinal cord injury, which means they are bedridden, it would help you to posture them as people who need help. So even when they are arguing and they are insulting, you do not respond. You just say, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You manage them, because in managing them, you are managing your child and getting the best out of the child, because a child must never be compromised. And let me tell you this, it takes two to fight. If during a boxing bout, the referee calls the match and say, let us start, and one person surrenders and throws the towel, that is the end of the fight. You can only fight someone who is ready to fight. Once you are not available to fight, it's either they fight themselves or they see themselves as the winner. But in seeing themselves as the winner, you have won, the child has won. So you need to create an empowering meaning and narrative. So I always say, is a royalty who is troubled on his way to wholeness, right? But we need to still co-parent with him, because the law does not even recognize that he's mentally unstable or he's psychologically unstable. Now, number five, You need to create a strategy script using the triangle of life. I'll talk about that shortly, right? To understand the behavioral code you need to put up to win with this person, right? So when I say to people that it's more or less strategic acting, right? They don't seem to understand it, because the child must win, and whatever must be done for the child to win is what you need to do. So if I have to act the role of a dummy for me to win with a difficult ex, I'll be willing to do that, because I know that is all it would take for the child to win. If I insist on my own way, the two of us will have problems, and we will become petty, the fighting will start again, and the child lose. The child must not lose. And the person who is more compassionate and more matured must take the bulk of the responsibility. Even though the bully feels he or she is in charge, you know you are in control, right? In a fight, the person who is bragging is not often the one in control. As a matter of fact, he's mistake prone when he's bragging, because he has lost senses and is overlooking things. But the person who is calm down is the one in control. It's called meekness. Meekness means what I can do by my power, I refuse to do it in my wisdom. It's strength under control. Which is why the truly powerful, you hardly see them talk about my car, you know, I have houses. Don't talk about that, because they understand that even if they don't have a personal, they can command it and it will come to be, right? So you need to create a strategy script using the triangle of life. Then, number six, you need to celebrate and exaggerate progress in the best interest of the child and win. So, for example, if you have had a smooth session with them, you need to send them an SMS. You need to thank them for everything they are doing for the child. You need to massage their ego. You are massaging their ego not because they deserve it, but because you need them to put up that behavior for the child to become the best version of himself. The moment your child clocks 18 and he has been well raised, you know that the child, you can get out of their lives, and the child can get out of their lives, and at that level you have achieved your aim. Parenting is an 18-year curriculum. What happens from age 19 is a report card and advisory. When you understand that, you know that if your child is 10, you only have 8 years to accommodate this person, and 8 years is not a long time. 2 World Cups and you are done, right? So you need to get into character. You need to see yourself as going into location so that you can successfully co-parent and influence a difficult spouse. Now, when it comes to the triangle of life, there are three different quadrants in there, right? So on the left side is, what have I chosen to believe about this difficult spouse? On the right side, who do I see and what result do I want? On the upper side is, who must I become? Right. So you need to find the duration. How long do I need to behave this, put up this behavior? If the duration is 8 years, you put 8 years there, right? What is the perceptual code? How do I see this person? Is a troubled royalty, or is a royalty who is presently troubled or battling with anger issues or battling with temper tantrums? You need to create an empowering narrative that doesn't produce judgment, that produces empathy. But the moment you say is battling with narcissistic personality disorder, you know that that is judgment. You don't even want to have anything to do with them. But if you make it mild and create an empowering narrative that doesn't undermine their humanity, that doesn't undermine their capacity to be transformed. As a matter of fact, this process may be what will eventually transform them, because when you fill their emotion with enough love tank, they suddenly snap into reality to say, I'm fighting every day. This person is not fighting me. I think I have a problem. They will now ask you, what has changed about you? Because you used to argue, you no longer argue with them in co-parenting, right? So you now need to create a support system so that when you, even though you are putting up, you are getting the characterization, you are also changing and becoming better at managing crisis. But when you need to vent, you need to create an outlet outside of the infirmary that you can vent at. That's why we say work with a coach, right? So in the triangle of life, you are asking, what have I chosen to believe, right? Even let's assume it's been clinically diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder. You want to say, what have I chosen to believe? Is still the father of my child, or is still the mother of my child? I've chosen to see them as an excellent parent who is currently troubled. I have chosen to see them as a good parent on a spinal cord injury, or a good parent battling with drug addiction, right? So when someone is battling with drug addiction, you cannot shout, you cannot scream, you can only empathize and show a lot of love, you know, and help them recover, right? So you get into that characterization on the left, right quadrant of the triangle. Who must I become for me to get the result I need to get with an enfant terry? So with an enfant terry, you know what to expect. Tantrums, you know what to expect. Control, you know what to expect. Manipulation. So if I understand that this is what this person is behaving like right now, based on the trouble in their life that they're not even aware of, who must I become to get the best out of them? And how can I work with what is on ground to get the best in the interest of the child? Your goal must be the child, remember, and you need to get into characterization. So for example, maybe you need to become a nurse to this overgrown baby, right, that has refused to grow up, who needs to be massaged for us to get a child that is healthy, right? So you need to know that, okay, you must not respond to their tantrums. You must keep smiling even when they are angry, right? And you need to put up your best behavior, best speech, and massage their ego to get the result you need to get with them, knowing fully well that in 8 years your child will clock 18 and you'll be out of their life. Now, so when it comes to money issue, you also need to know that, and since you have, which is why it's important for you to make your own money, so that they don't sabotage and manipulate you through economics, because oftentimes when they lose power over economics, the next thing that they try to do is bully you. And when you are not strong economically, they will also bully you and make your life very miserable. So it is important that who do you see is very important, but the behavioral code is very important. So the power of meaning, the power of narrative management, and when you get into location, you get into that character that can help you win with them. And when you are out of location, you get back to your normal self. And you see, it's something that is fun to do. We call it the switching. So you are switching from the normal you into the role you, characterization you, because you are in the location of co-parenting. And when you are done, you switch back, you know. So this is something that human beings can do. We can all win when we have the right strategy, depending on who we are dealing with. The problem is all of us, many of us, are unwilling to get out of ourselves to do what we need to do to win with the person we need to win with. It's called the rules of engagement. Remember, the person in control is the most knowledgeable person, who is calmer, who has enough knowledge and can create strategy. In a football match, it is tactics that win. Superior tactical formation is what wins when the players are right. So the same way, when you are dealing with someone who is a difficult ex, you need to dimension them. When I do strategy for people like that, I dimension them. I do their scripting, I do the pseudo personality arc, and I am able to create strategy for my client. But I also help my client attain mental wellness by creating the power of meaning that can promote the best interest of my client while they win with the troubled spouse or with the enfant terry. Remember, the star of the occasion is the child. And if you truly want your child to win, you will be willing to get into any role, right, that can and mitigate against the person or the behavior that can sabotage the best interest of your child. That is why you need to document everything and get a mediator to work with the two of you. I will end up today by a quote I love. It's my quote, I created it, that says, happiness is creating and protecting the heaven within you in a way that the hell without you loses its power over you. Happiness is creating and protecting the heaven within you in a way that the hell without loses its power over you. Your goal must be to secure the heaven within you and invalidate the hell without you. You can't stop hell from being hellish. If hell comes, you know what to expect from hell. You know fire, brimstone, anger, tantrums is what to expect from hell, right? But the question is, do you want to go into hell? You don't want to go into hell, so retain the heaven within you. You are the ambassador of heaven. Hell must represent hell. So when hell comes, you be heaven. Be calm, be serene, be tactical, and be wise, and win. You can, you must, and you will. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you tomorrow, God's willing. Till then, keep loving and keep living. And remember, I always honor you. Have a fantastic day. Bye.
thanks for enjoying Family Engineering with Praise as we re-engineer a world that is fit for all. For more inquiries, kindly visit our website www.praisefulwaredtech.com or send us a mail podcast@iampraisefulware.com or visit our stores www.iampraisefulware.com. You can also call us on +1 817 881 8696, +1 780 246 7955, +447 960 813430, or +234 810 857 1139.